We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Well, praise the Lord. It's Take Time for Jesus. Coming into you by the way of computer. We're just happy that God is still on the throne and his business is still in the saving business. And he's looking unto his people for praise and worship in spirit and in truth. He come into this world and died for us. He purchased our salvation with his own blood. And there's no way around it, even though a lot of people tries to make other ways. But there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the one that purchased us with his own blood. So, my friend, today, that no matter who comes to preaching you another gospel, Peter said, and Paul and him said, let him be accursed. So we got to realize that there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we are baptized into one body. There's a lot of division amongst people today because of their misinterpretation of the scriptures. And they want it to sound like they want it to be, and that we're in that they can use it as they please. So they arrest the scriptures by not being obedient. And disobedience is what got us into the problem to start with. When Adam and Eve disobeyed one commandment, it got us put all of us put in sin and in trespasses. And we was all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And God took Abraham and got a nation out. But anyway, when he come to the place there to where in that the law was given to Moses, and the law couldn't save us, but it made us aware of our sins, but it couldn't do away with our sins because we were weak in the flesh. So Jesus came into this world, God's only begotten Son, God manifested in the flesh, according to the scriptures, and died for our sins and purchased us, as Peter made mention to us there, that not we was bought with not silver and the gold and the corruptible things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Some people got it down that Peter didn't know what he was saying and that he lied about on the day of Pentecost when he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, Peter didn't lie. He understood what Jesus was speaking about in Matthew 28:19, when Jesus told him, he said, to go into all the world and preaching the gospel and teaching them the things that he had taught them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The name that was given unto him, wherein all the fullness of God dwelt in the man called Jesus. So Peter didn't lie, and he didn't misunderstand. He put it out to the plain facts. He didn't change anything. He just brought it clearly, declared the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it's caused so much division till they've thrown up divisions in amongst the church world, as we call it, in the body of Christ, when Christ is not divided, but these petitions that they put up with this denomination and that denomination and all these things. My friend, today we got to realize that there is only one God and the Father of us all. And we got to realize that Peter was the one that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of God. Spoke about building his church upon the rock, where even to the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, the devil has kicked at it and beat on it and tried to destroy it down through the years by all this other ways of people interpretation to the scriptures and trying to tell this and that. But I'm persuaded to believe with all that is within me that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, God himself put on the robe of flesh and came and died for you and I, whereby that we were lost without any hope. Peter made mention about in the scriptures there in 1 Peter about we were a people that had no hope. We was without any hope there and had no thing, walked in darkness under a curse of death until Jesus came into the world and died for us all, brought us into the light of this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby that Paul made mention there that he was not ashamed of this gospel, for it was power unto salvation. So now where in the world can we get that God's divided anywhere is beyond my comprehension. God is not divided. He's there. He's been there, and he created everything. Then was not anything created that he didn't create by Jesus Christ. And so why do we bicker and bumble about all these things when there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we are baptized into one body according to the scriptures? But as it was that many people have different ideas of whatever they want to make of it, but you can't arrest the scriptures and make it something but what it is. In the first chapter of Peter, Peter declares there as he was writing, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Pilate, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. My friend, you can't get it no clearer than that in my thinking, but nevertheless to each his own. But when it comes time to stand before the judge of all judges and the judgment of all of us, if we haven't got it right, we're going to be cast out. So as we go before the Lord at this time, we want you to pray for our boys and girls, our firemen, our policemen, and those that have been injured with these wars and one thing or another. There's earthquakes around about and disturbing people, and it's all kinds of problems that are happening. We need to pray that God will take care of his people, which he will. But there is trouble around, it's brewing around across the world, my friend. All kinds of signs is pointing towards the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near and even at the door. So let us pray one for another as God would help us, that we will be prepared at that sound of the trumpet and the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that things will go well with you and that God be give the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' precious name. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your saving grace. Thank you for that precious blood that paid our sin debt, for that time that you took our place on Calvary's cross and died in our place, that whereby that we could live unto thee and have righteousness because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord, believing in him that he would died for our sins, was buried and resurrected, and because he lives, we live, and we have our being. So we give you the praise. Protect our boys and girls, and watch over our firemen and our policemen and those that are in the front line of to helping others in these disasters. So we just give you the praise and the glory for it. And be with them and keep them, Lord. Put your arms of protection around them and hold them close to you, and bring them home soon, and we'll give you the praise and the glory as we enter into this service area. We just pray, God, your mercy and your grace be with them all, and keep us by that saving grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we'll be careful to praise you for this and all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I believe my wife has something other here, as I always say. So here she is now, Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. I just feel so good this afternoon that the Lord is really blessing us and keeping us by his saving grace. But I have a little article today that I put together kind of this week, and it's time for a checkup. Many of us go to the doctor once a year for a physical checkup, but how many of us go to Jesus for a spiritual checkup? We should go every day. Not only once a day, but a couple times a day, whenever you get a break or whatever. we need to go and have Jesus check us up, clean us, cleanse us, oh Lord, and make us what you'd have us to be. But this afternoon, I want you to read and meditate on Ephesians 5, 1 to 18. How can we evaluate the quality of our faith? Are there ways to assess spiritual progress and growth? The answer is yes. Paul gives us a number of them in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians can be viewed as two halves of one big picture about giving and receiving faith. Chapters 1 to 3 describe what God has done for us in Christ. Chapters 4 to 6 describes what we are to do for what God has done for us. We are called to live for Christ and to be imitators of him in Ephesians 5 and 1. Just as children follow the patterns seen in their parents, and many of them will follow their parents, they'll grow up to be exactly like them. But what we need to do is, the Bible says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they shall go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, they may stray away for a little while, but I am here to tell you that you'll always come back to your roots. And I just, there's several things that are patterns for a godly lifestyle that would include living in love, which means giving ourselves willingly for the benefit of others, just as Christ has done for us. That's Ephesians 2. Forsaking your selfish ways, such as self-seeking, immorality, and greed. And that's Ephesians 5, 3, and 5. Replacing filthy talk, treating lightly a serious matter, and unkind joking with communications, and rooted thanksgiving to God in affirmation of others. In Ephesians 5, 4, and 20. Exercising discernments about what we are told so we are not susceptible to trickery and false doctrine from others. Ephesians 5, 6 to 7, and 15. And bowing out from situations where evil is on the agenda. Stay away from it if you know evil is going to be there. In Ephesians 5, 11 to 12. Managing our time, for the day of the Lord is coming, and we have got to be prepared. Allow these patterns of godliness to affect your own life before using them to evaluate others. Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Judge not that you be not judged. For what measure you judge, it'll be measured back to you. Christ calls his people to a lifestyle of submission instead of self-ambition. In Ephesians 5 and 21, the New Testament teaches that believers are to submit themselves to God, to their leaders, and to other believers. But exactly what does that mean? In the King James Version, James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And that is what I'm leaving with you this afternoon. If you would like to help us, it would be greatly appreciated. You can take time for Jesus. P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. But more importantly, I've said before, email us to ecompton31@yahoo.com or sallygcp4@yahoo.com. We appreciate all the emails that we've gotten from London and Barbados and all the islands and Chicago and every place that you've written. We appreciate it very much. We got you in our prayers, and may God bless each and every one of you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise God. We do appreciate the emails that we have received from different ones around different parts of the world, here in the United States and around in other countries. And we just look forward to receiving them, and we just pray that God will bless you through the ministry and help you, that we can all grow in the grace of God. And one day at his appearing, that we'll be prepared and we will hear the sound of the trumpet, and we can go to be with the Lord forevermore. That will be a glorious time of rejoicing such as was never been, but it will be something that will continue throughout eternity, ever how long that is. It sounds to me like it ain't no end, but nevertheless, we just pray that you would pray for us as we pray one for another, and keep our men and women in your prayers, and those that have suffered from various different things around the world, and help us that we can just reach out and touch lives for Jesus Christ and for the salvation that would come unto them through his love and kindness, through that shed blood on Calvary's cross where he took our place and gave his life that we could have life. So as Peter was saying in First Peter here, as I got there, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord and God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, or from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." My friend, he has gone as he said that he would go and prepare a place for us, that he would come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we can be also. But we've got to be prepared. We just can't just sit and just do any old kind of way that we are minded to do, say everything and do anything that the old flesh desires to do, and expect to be prepared at the coming of our Lord. The Bible teaches that he's coming after a bride that has made herself ready for her groom. So we got to realize that there's things in our life that we need to put aside. There's times that we need to understand that God is coming back after a church or a bride that's made herself ready. So God is not going to make you ready and everything. You're going to have to do something yourself. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith. So your faith in Jesus Christ, to live a godly Christian life, is a part of the works that you got to do in exercising the faith that will bring us into salvation, that wherein that we were purchased by his precious blood. And in him that we have our hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's no way that God is going to cast them out, that because he said if you come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he would in no wise cast out. But this is a part of that we're going to have to be there in order to be a part of the kingdom of God. We're going to have to be born again, my friend. You just can't go any old way and then expect the Lord, through all of his mercy and kindness, to let all the sins that us enter into the kingdom of God with all of our sins and our corruptible baggage that we picked up in this life and let it enter into the kingdom. It's not going to work that way. We got to repent of those sins that we've born into and shaped into iniquity. We got to repent and let the Lord Jesus Christ come into our life and let his blood cleanse us from our unrighteousness, through faith in him and believing and trusting in him that once walked on the shores around Galilee and chosen these apostles. And he said, "Have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" We know that Judas, he betrayed the Lord, and it was mostly because of the lust he had for money. The lust for money has corrupted a lot of people, even to a lot of preachers, because that they had that desire for wealth and riches of this world. My friend, these things are going to fade away according to the scriptures. And if we have faith in Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, that we have lively hope in him, and we can come into the place and the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ and what the apostles wrote unto us, and therefore, if we believe and trust in him, we can have the hope of salvation. But that's the only way we're going to make it. We're going to have to repent of our sins, because we was born in it and shaped in iniquity. We've got to repent firsthand with a contrite spirit and a broken heart and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me they was going to go to heaven where they wanted to or not. My friend, I've got some news for you. It don't work that way, except you believe that he is he, you will die in your sins. And Jesus came there, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. He came into this world to die for you and I. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. He was God in the spirit, but manifested in the flesh to come and die for you and I. There's no other way we can get there except through Jesus Christ. Him being the head, the chief cornerstone, and my friend, he's the only one that can forgive sin. Now, anybody else that claims that they can forget on this earth as a man can claim that they can forgive sins, he's just whistling Dixie, so to say. He's a liar and the devil's his father. He's a liar of all liars, because there's no one on this side of eternity, no man in this flesh is able to forgive sins except Jesus Christ. I know the scripture said that he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. He said, whatever sins you remit, that it'll be remitted, and whatever you bind upon it will be bound. And this will be done in heaven. But my friend, you've got to repent in order for your sins to be remitted. Peter couldn't just say, go, your sins are forgiven. He had the authority to open the key, take the key and open the door to salvation when he asked you to just simply call him upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. That was the key that God gave him, the key to the gospel, opening the door unto the faith that in Christ Jesus that he went and preached and brought forth the gospel into Cornelius, which was a Gentile, and Peter had the key that he had to open the door and bring forth the Gentiles. For when Peter was on top of the house at Simon Tanner's, and he was hungry, no doubt, because the sheep came down out of heaven and had all kinds of creeping four-footed beasts and all. And it said, the voice said, Peter, kill and eat. And this done happened three times. And he said, no, Lord. He said, no common or unclean thing have I eaten. And the Lord told him, he said, do not call what I have cleansed common or uncleansed. And the people from Cornelius' house came there, and God told him to go with them and ask him nothing. So when he got to Cornelius' house, and he told them about it, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, come upon them as it did on the day of Pentecost, and Peter said, who can forbid water unto them that have believed such as them and have received the Holy Ghost? So they was baptized in the name of the Lord. There's no scripture that says any place that where they was ever used by the apostles in the church of the living God today that was wherein that they were baptized in the titles. This came from a harlot doctrine, and they use these things, but they've got other people that they call deity and everything, but there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. You study the scriptures and find that in the beginning of Acts there, in there when the church was first formed here, as we know it today, it's got corruptible things in it, and it's caused it, and it's not following all of the teachings that Jesus told the apostles down to what it's supposed to be. The reason we have so much problem in the body of Christ today, or in what we call the church world, is because there's so much division in it. At the time that Jesus said commission, he said, go and open the blind eyes and pray for the sick, heal the sick and the lame and cast out devils and everything. But now there's little to that is being done. And sometimes I wonder if these that claims it, if it's really happening, or are they just somebody said that did? Because there's false prophets in this world today, false teachers that's going around and claiming things it's not true. And sometimes something will happen that it'll seem like that God's all in it, but first thing you know, the one that is supposed to be doing all these things will run off with the piano player or somebody else's wife or something other will happen, and it just runs it all. That's the devil's game, to destroy and to bring forth and kill the faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he'll get to where he said, well, if so-and-so couldn't make it, ain't no sense of me trying. Devil loves for you to say that. But believe me, by the trying of your faith, by the testing of your lifestyle and your walk with God, it's going to be some trials and tribulations going to come. But if you be faithful, he is just and he will keep you in these trials. He will make a way of escape for you if you just hold on and pray and seek God. Don't give up and let the devil take your reward and sell your birthright, as Esau did for a bowl of soup to Jacob. And then Jacob got his birthright and the blessing there through false. But God said in his word that he loved Jacob, and Esau he hated. Well, my friend, today he hates sin. Esau didn't think too much of his birthright. He thought the bowl of soup was more important, so they called him Edom. So, my friends, today, if you've got a idea of getting into the kingdom of God by doing any old way you want to and everything, don't let the devil persuade you into that kind of thing. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid your sin debt, and the devil knows it, and he wants to destroy it, and therefore then have you in hell with him, because he knows his destination. He tries to tell you about your past and bring that up and throw you in and tell you you can't get into because of your past. Remind him of his future, because his future will be fastened up in hell for the duration of eternity, along with all the false preachers and doctors and whatever else that's wrong, that's not cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ in faith in him, and he's been renewed and been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Them people are going to suffer the loss of eternal life with Christ Jesus because of their false teachings and their things that they're bringing, and it's led a lot of people down the wrong road. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when Philip asked him one time, he said, Lord, show us the Father and satisfy us. And he said, Peter, have I been so long with you that you have not seen me? For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Believest thou this? Well, it doesn't say anything that Philip ever questioned him about it anymore. That the apostle Peter, he said, thou art the Son of the living God. And when John the Baptist came, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. My friend, you can't get around the scriptures that Christ came into this world to save us sinners such as you and I. He came and died for us. He purchased us there on Calvary with his own blood, not by buying us like a slave or something other, but he purchased us. He loved us enough that he gave his life that we could have life. The life that we have in this world, it's going to be trials and temptations and things on it. Everything ain't going to be a rose bed and peaches and cream, so they say. We're going to have our trials of our faith. The devil is on his job, and he's going to try to distort you and get you oriented to where he can talk to you and persuade you, if he can, to turn unto him and do the things that the old flesh desires to do. But we're going to have to be careful about that devil temptation that come upon you in this world. Jesus said that he would raise a standard up against the wiles of the devil if we'll just believe in him. He may allow you to go through it some, but nothing, no temptation will overcome you except you give in to it. The devil can put the thought in your mind, but he cannot make you do anything. A lot of people say the devil made me do it, but the devil put the thought in your mind and you went and acted on it, so you done it yourself. The devil didn't make you do it. You willingly obeyed him instead of obeying the voice of God and said, turn away from the sins and iniquity and I will receive you. If my friend, today we got to understand that there's only one true light in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He'll keep us in our trials, and he'll help us. Therefore, but we're going to have to be obedient to him. Adam gave one commandment. He disobeyed and partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and put us all in sin. Jesus came into this world to die for us, that would bring us out of our sins. Not to save us in our sins, but to bring us out of our sins. And these people are going around, well, this is the way God made me, and I'm okay. I've got everything I need and everything, my friend. Don't be fooled by these wild winds of the devil and his voice that he goes through and speaks through ignorant men. God once winked at ignorance, but he called every man into repentance anymore. Right. So the ignorance of ours, you might say, they're going to get by with? I don't think so. When God said we need to repent, we need to repent. Need to let him receive us. And if he don't receive us, we're going to be lost. And he's not going to receive us into his kingdom with all of our weights of our sins and disobedience. You remember back years ago, not so much this day and time, but I remember when I was a boy growing up, moms and dads take a hickory switch to us when we disobeyed them and done things we wasn't supposed to do, and they would chastise us. God chastises us now when we get out of line. It's just some people just don't pay no attention to it, like a lot of them back then when I was a boy. I've seen a lot of my friends and mom and dad would get on them, but they didn't pay no attention to them. They'd go on and do it anyway. But God is not going to allow this to happen. My mama gave me a good switch it every time I done something wrong, and I appreciate it today. I thank God for it. So she was the one that told me about the man called Jesus, taught me, and had me to go to church to learn something about this Savior that I'm talking about. And if it took the switch elm limb to get me right to walk to church and go there, I might have went on a protest, but I'm glad now that I went. I'm glad that I got knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when I was older, I didn't stray from it, but I came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, him being my Savior, and I'm glad for that today. I'm glad. I pray often that, God, I'm thankful that you allowed me to be born to a woman that told me about you and insisted that I know something about you. And I'm glad to give that report, that because of the bringing up that I had, the switch elm limbs, you might say, that was put on me to keep me in line, and the correction that it brought forth, I'm glad today, because it's kept me out of prison. It's kept me from many things that I might have got involved into if it had not have been for that. So God loves us. Our mothers and dads that will correct their young ones loves them, because the Bible said if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Most people says the Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. But it doesn't say that. He said if you spare the rod, you hate your child. But anymore, the people have come to where they allow the government to tell them what they can do with their children. But yet and still, the child gets into trouble and everything. They want to blame the parents for it because, well, if they don't correct them, they're going to get into trouble. But if they correct them, then they want to put the parents in jail. It ought not to be that way, my friend. It ought to be that mothers and dads would be allowed to correct their children. Then we wouldn't have so many juvenile delinquencies running around killing people and smoking pot and doing all this here, getting drunk and living like they do, and young girls getting pregnant and having children and everything, and they just barely gotten out of their diapers, you might say, and they start having sex and all because of the corruption in the world and this here sex education that the schools are teaching them. Sure, it makes little boys and girls curious, and they try to sing it out. It ought not to be. My friend, the parents ought to be teaching the children about the love of God and teaching them by doing what they tell them to do and not being off, sidled off somewhere or another to leave them to themselves, but taking them into the place of worship, worshiping God with them and teaching of the things of God instead of just letting them go in their own way. It just ain't right. No way you want to look at it. Our world is coming apart simply because of disbelief and the adulterous world that they have made it of, and because of our corruption in our offices, of our courts, and in other places, and even behind the pulpit with some places. I'm telling you, my friends, it's getting to be a stink in the nostrils of God, and God's going to put an end to it pretty soon. As he did in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, he put an end to it, and it's come along and creeped back in because he didn't destroy the devil. But the devil knows his time is short, and his time is limited, and he's trying to destroy all he can, and seeking to kill and destroy, and to deceive all he can to get him to where that he knows he's going to be fastened up in hell, and he wants plenty of company. But, my friend, it ain't going to be no joy to it. It's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people says, oh, there's no such a place as hell. But let me tell you, the Bible says it is. I believe it. I believe what the scripture teaches me. And if it wasn't for that, then why have we the Bible? Some people says, well, men wrote it to make people do. No, men of old wrote it as the Holy Ghost inspired them to write it for yours and my benefit. They suffered much persecution to bring this gospel to you and I. Oh, that Paul suffered being beat with rods, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked, and brought it out. And he was an apostle chosen of God on the road to Damascus, which he was a stinker to start with, but he come to be one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And he suffered much for this gospel because the Lord said he told Ananias to go his way. And he was a chosen vessel of his, that he would show him much that he would suffer for his name's sake. And he was going to send him to the Gentiles, where you and I were in a curse under the death, the curse of death in darkness, into the light of the gospel. And Peter, regardless of what these said, that Peter lied on the day of Pentecost or he changed what Jesus said, Peter knew exactly what he was doing. And when he opened the keys, taking the keys that the Lord gave him to salvation and opened it up, the plan that God had for you and I as Gentiles in Cornelius' house, and then they come forth there, my friend, if it had not have been for the key, for the opening the door unto us, if it had not have been in the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, you and I would still be lost without any hope. But praise be unto God and the Lord Jesus Christ that we have hope in him. Christ in us, the hope of glory, whereby that we have an inheritance, not of corruptible things and there, but an inheritance there with him there, whereby that we will be joy, peace, and love forevermore if we'll just abide in Christ and he'll abide in us. I want you to think about it, my friend. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you don't have to be in some big cathedral somewhere or another. You don't have to get a bunch of people coming around patting you and shaking you and carrying on and say, give up or hold on. All you got to do is kneel by your bedside or a place and truly repenting unto God, being godly sorry for your sins, and ask him to come into your life and allowing him to take charge of you, and therefore letting him lead and guide you. Turn aside from the things and the corruptible things you once was involved in too, and let Jesus lead you in the true path of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll do it, but you got to let him know you want to be. You got to call upon him. In the time of refreshing comes, then you'll be received unto him. When he comes to take his bride, you can be in that number, but you got to repent. You got to be born again. You can't get there any other way. There's no other way. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, my friend, if you're trying to climb in at a window, there's no window into the kingdom of God. There's no back door that you can sneak in. You got to go through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. Narrow is the way, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few that find it. Won't you be one of them numbers of the few that find Jesus Christ to be your Savior and give him praise and honor and allow him to come into your life? and wash your sins whiter than snow, though they be red like crimson. He'll wash them and turn your sins inside out and make you whiter than snow. He'll bring you into the place that we're in, that you will truly worship him in spirit and in truth, and be glad one day that you called upon the name of the Lord and repented of your sins and got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend, that's the only way we're going to make it. Ain't no Pope or nobody else going to be able to get you there. You got to make it for yourself. I can't carry you in my pocket. I can't get there for you, and you make it on me. You got to come in through the door, and Jesus is the door. I can pray with you and pray with you there, but if you don't do some praying for yourself, all of my prayers are not going to do you any good until you say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me or use me. Forgive me of my sins." You got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And them preachers going around, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand and repeat after me, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," and you're on your way. My friend, don't rely upon that too much. You got to repent, broken heart, contrite spirit, and be godly sorrow for your sins, asking the Lord to save you. You can't make it no other way. Raising your hands and everything, and a lot of people raise their hands in ball games, clap and hoop and yell and holler, but they're not on their way to glory. They're still there in the devil's world, and he is the god of this world, and he carries people around by the nose, you say, and leads them in the way of destruction, and Jesus Christ wants to come and walk in you. You in him, and you him in you, abiding in him, and him abiding in you, to walk on the straight and the narrow, to bring you into the place where he said, "I'll go and prepare for you. I'll come again to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." My friend, that's the only way you're going to get it. The devil telling you all these here things for a good time and everything. His time is running out. As my wife was saying, we need to get a checkup. We need to check up and find out who we're serving. I dare venture to say that most of you are serving the wrong God. But come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only true living God. The devil's going to talk to you. He'll put evil thoughts in your mind of corruptible things, try to get you to do things that you know, I believe, that you know in your own righteous mind that you know is wrong. But when you go to act upon them things and you go to do them according to the way he wants you to do them, then you've committed sin, my friend. Jesus has not come to lead you in the road of destruction. He came to lead you in the path of righteousness, whereby him being the chief shepherd, the cornerstone, him being the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, will lead you into the green pastures of God and by the still waters of life, wherein that he has gone to prepare for us. But you got to come his way. He's not going to come back here and die for you again. He did one time, but he ain't coming that way no more. So if you go and live a corruptible life, and therefore and you trample the blood of Jesus under your feet, ignore him by just disobedience in every way, you're trampling his blood up under your feet as though it was nothing. My friend, someday you're going to wish that it had been a different way that you've done things. But the people of Noah's day, it never rained, and they wouldn't listen to Noah. They no doubt mocked at him for building that big old ark there, but God told him to build it, and he was working on it. Man, I'm working on getting to glory. I want you to come along and go with me. It's the reason I try my best by the unction of the Holy Ghost to let you know that false teachers are out there, false prophets are out there, and they'll teach you all kinds of things to get their monetary things from you. And for your money, they've got gimmicks and sell you this and sell you that. You can't buy it. It's not for sale. It's a gift, but you can't get it without $50 or whatever. And my friend, it's not right. What God has freely given us, we ought to freely give. And that's what I try to do. It's true that it cost us for these broadcasts, but as long as God provides, I guess I'll be on it. But if we could get some help, it would be appreciated. We could even maybe reach out to some more that we're not reaching. But nevertheless, I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm not going to beg you for your money. I've got nothing to sell. All I have is God give it to me, and I'll give it to you as he gives it to me, freely, without any ties. But the Lord Jesus Christ will be my reward when the time comes. And he can be yours too, if you'll just trust in him and repent of your sins. You can't make it no other way. Peter declared there, he said, through his mercy in the fourth verse there, he said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens for you, who has kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When the even wherein ye gratefully rejoice, through though now for a season, if though manifold temptation, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tempted. Jesus was tried and tempted before he started the ministry, and the devil come and told him, he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He said, man may not live, must not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He took him and showed him all the things of the world, and took him and put him on top of a pedestal there, a pinnacle, and told him, said, cast yourself down, for it's written that the angel will bear you up, lest you strike your foot and fall. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Carried him into exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, this I'll give to you if you just bow down and worship me. He said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And the devil left him. My friend, he's going to come and offer you all kinds of things. He's the God of this world, and he can promise you everything, but he can give you nothing. But you'll wind up, if you listen to him and go and do the things that he wants you to do, and you abide in them and live in them and do them as he would have you to do, you're going to fall headlong into hell with him, and there you'll be for eternity. So it's your choice, as I've often said, like it's my choice. You choose you this day to whom you'll serve. God is always ready and willing. He's still in the saving business. He still will hear you cry, no matter what time of the day it might be. But if you cry out to him and earnestly and loving him and sorrowful for your sins and ask him to forgive you, he'll hear you. He'll come into you, and he'll comfort you. He'll bring you forth into the rightful place that he wants you to be, because he made the statement, it is not his will that none should perish, but that all should repent. The hell was made for the devil and his angels. But because of so many people desiring to go there, it's enlarged itself in order to be accommodation. We see preachers that got 150 people in the service, and they want to build a church that would hold 5,000 or 6,000. They ain't even got that one full yet, and they want to build bigger ones. That's the way hell is. It's enlarged itself to accommodate all them that would go. And my friend, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, there he is in the midst also. Didn't say nothing about hundreds and thousands. Said where there's two or three. Well, I don't say that God don't hear some of them. But my friend, when you go in there and you hear corruptible things, it's not going to help you much when you stand before the judgment of God if you haven't obeyed the truth and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not divided. It's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body. Peter did not lie. He knew exactly what he was saying. He didn't change anything. He just brought it clearly that what the name that Jesus said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he declared the name. So what are you going to do? Are you going to arrest the scripture because somebody said, no, Peter lied, or Peter didn't know what he was saying, didn't have the right to change it, when the Lord himself gave him the keys? So what are you going to do? Somebody gives you a key to their front door, you can go in that front door with that key, open it up and walk right in. If you go in there any other way, you're a thief and a robber, and you'll go to jail. And if you try to enter into the kingdom of God except by the door, you're going to go to jail. But the Bible calls it hell. So it's up to us. It's merely between us and God. And otherwise, if you obey the devil and listen to him and he leads you astray, or would you want to listen to the words of God and allow him to lead you in the path of righteousness, in the straight way, in the narrow gate, bring you into the kingdom of God? My friend, it's our only hope. Otherwise, without Christ Jesus, your hope is in vain. You haven't got the promise of tomorrow no more so than I have. No one has. We never know when that death angel is going to come around. And therefore, you may be feeling fine and doing real well, thinking that you're going to live for whatever. And you may lay down and never rise up again. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the absolute truth of the matter. Oh, my friend, the rich man, all of his fields brought an abundant, and he said, what am I going to do? He said, I know, I'll tear down my old barns and build new ones, and then I'll store up my goods, and said, soul, take it easy. You've got enough to last you a long, long time. But the word came to him, he said, thy food, tonight will thy soul be required of thee. And who gets all of that he has stored up? Somebody else. So you can lay up treasures in this world against the day of your retirement or whatever, and be so frugal that you won't spend a dime of it, but you try to hoard it up for a special cause. And if you lie down to go to bed tonight and you don't wake up in the morning, who's going to get the benefit of your labor? Oh, if you don't know Jesus, you won't get none of it. But if you know him, you can have the benefit of salvation, eternal life with him, born again, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring you to the place he said he would prepare for us. Therefore, that we can be in the kingdom of God, born again, in the power of the resurrected God that he is. God raised him from the dead, and he brought forth life and gave him life, and because he lives, you and I have an opportunity to live. For without Christ, you're dead in your sins and in your trespasses. You're just a walking around corpse. You're still bound up in the sins of this world, of the grave clothes. Your eyes can't see the reality in serving God. You're blinded by the things of this world. You'll go down in defeat because the world and all of this corruption is going to fade away. As the grass withers and is cut down, and the man is a flower of it, it fades away and falls away. My friend, only what's done for God is going to last. So we got to realize the day is the day of salvation, for tomorrow may not be ours to behold. Today is the time we need to make restitution, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and getting our sins under the blood and letting him come into our life, for tomorrow may be too late. I see our time is almost gone, and we just appreciate you listening into it. Appreciate the email we've received from many of you around different places in the world, and those that have helped us in the finances of it. We appreciate that, and God richly bless you. And our prayers, our friend, is that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And those that even know you, keep praying, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, because Jesus is coming soon. Be looking up, rejoice, for we know that our redemption draweth nigh. So may the Lord richly bless you. Write to us and email us, write to us. The post office box is given unto you there and everything. And just let God richly bless you, my friend, is my prayer. and keep you in his loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Until next time, God bless. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.